Let's open with hymn number 75. Responsibly Psalm 110, found on page 146.
Psalm 110. The Lord said unto my Lord,
Sit thou at my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool.
The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion.
Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies.
Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauty of holiness from the womb of the morning.
Thou hast the dew of thy youth.
The Lord hath sworn and will not repent.
Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
The Lord at thy right hand
shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath.
He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies.
He shall wound the heads over many countries.
He shall drink of the brook in the way.
Therefore shall he lift up the head.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our first reading this evening is found in the first chapter of Luke, the 57th through the 80th verse. Now Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. When her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. So it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by the name of his father, Zacharias. His mother answered and said, No, he shall be called John. But they said to her, There is no one among your relatives who is called by this name. So they made signs to his father what he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, His name is John. So they all marveled. Immediately his tongue was opened, and his mouth was opened, and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, praising God. Then fear came on all who dwelt around them, and all these sayings were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, What kind of child will this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. Now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people, by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercies of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So the child grew and became strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his manifestation to Israel. Here ends our first lesson.
But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to thee, O Lord.
Our second lesson this evening is the third chapter of Matthew. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him, and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not think to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly cleanse out the threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me?" But Jesus answered and said to him, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. And when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Here ends the second lesson.
But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us.
We sing hymn 63. Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text this evening is the 50th Psalm. A Psalm of Asaph. The Mighty One, God the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun to its going down. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God will shine forth. Our God shall come and shall not keep silent. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous all around him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together to me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Let the heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I will rebuke you of your sacrifice. I will not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are continually before me. I will not take a bull from your house, nor goats out of your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all its fullness. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to declare my statutes or to take my covenant in your mouth, seeing you hate instruction and cast my words behind you? When you saw a thief, you consented with him and have been a partaker with adulterers. You give your mouth to evil and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I kept silence. You thought that I was altogether like you. But I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes. Now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. Here ends our text. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, when God comes to men, there is always judgment. It cannot be any other way. Habakkuk 1:12 and following declares, O Lord, you have appointed them for judgment. O rock, you have marked them for correction. You are of purer eyes than to behold evil, and cannot look on wickedness. This is true no matter who God comes to. In the Garden of Eden, after Adam and Eve had first sinned, God came to them, and they hid. And when God confronted them, he judged them. He judged them guilty of sin and cast them out of the garden. When God visited his people Israel to rescue them from Pharaoh, he likewise judged them. He examined every household, and if any household was not marked with the blood of the Paschal Lamb, the firstborn of that house died. If any man could be perfect in all his works or ways, he would still fall under the judgment of God when God visits him. Even our Lord Jesus was not exempt from this judgment according to his human nature. When the Father announced to the world, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," that was God's judgment of Jesus. Our Lord Jesus Christ is both God and man. Therefore, when he comes to us, he always comes as the judge of men. John the Baptist announced to the Pharisees, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost, with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. When God comes, he divides the wicked from his own. The difference between our Lord's first coming in lowliness and his second coming in glory is really this. He first came to man to make men holy even as he is holy, so that when he judges the world on the last day, we will endure his judgment and be found righteous in him. Until that day, he waits and he warns men so that they have time to prepare. His judgment seems to be delayed at times, and yet it always comes. Because God does not immediately destroy the wicked for their evil, such men may think that they have escaped God's judgment. Yet it always comes. Sometimes it begins in this life. Those who succeeded in crucifying the Son of God thought that they had escaped the judgment of God. And yet it came upon them also when Jerusalem was destroyed 40 years after Jesus rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. In our psalm, God speaks to two different kinds of people of his judgment when he comes to visit them. Both of them, by all appearances, seem to be his own people because they worship him and they know his word. And some of them even teach others his word. The latter group are pure hypocrites. They're wicked men, such as those who plotted the death of Jesus. They claim to be God's people. They even teach his word to others. They speak of his statutes and his covenant. But in their own lives, they hate his word. They cast it away from them. They commit every manner of evil under the guise of holiness and think that they have escaped the judgment of God, because for a long time, God keeps silent. He does nothing to them. And at the end of our psalm, God addresses such hypocrites. These things you have done, and I kept silent. You thought that I was altogether like you, but I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes. Now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. But among the assembly of all the people who hear the word of God, there are another kind of people who offer a false worship. These are sincere people because they keep his ordinance and they sincerely try to follow his commandments. And yet they are sincerely wrong. They do not hear the word of God rightly. But instead, they believe that their works are earning God's favor just because they're doing something that God commanded. Before the coming of Christ, such people could be found in the temple, offering up the sacrifices which God had prescribed. Yet their offerings were false. In his mercy, God calls out to these people also, warning them before he comes. And you too are meant to hear this admonition. Because even though you are one of those saints of which this psalm speaks, whom God has gathered together into his holy Christian church, you need to remember why it is and how it is that you are here. Examine your own heart and consider whether perhaps you have offered God your sacrifices thinking that you were doing him a favor. Do you think that God will be pleased with you because you've kept the Lord's day and sung the hymns well and bowed your heads when you prayed and didn't fumble the words? Do you expect that you are offering God a special service that he needs you to perform when you keep his commandments? Do you expect that he will not judge you if you don't kill or steal or commit adultery? Do you believe that God needs your offerings? Yes, in your heart, these thoughts do enter in. Your flesh loves to believe that it has something to offer to God. Therefore, hear what God answers. Do you really think that I have need of anything that you can give to me? Your going through the motions are just fine. I will not rebuke you for your sacrifices and your burnt offerings, which are continually before me. No, I will rebuke you for thinking that I somehow need them and that you are doing me a favor. Israel offered burnt offerings and too often thought that this was something God wanted for his own sake. God answers, "If I were really hungry for meat or thirsty for blood, do you think I would wait for you to bring it to me? Every beast of the field is already mine. I could take whatever I want at any time." It is the same that all we could possibly do for God with our human efforts. We have nothing that God needs us to get for him. He has it all already. And what works we possibly could offer unto him are just like those works which he condemns in the latter part of this psalm. They are wickedness. Therefore, since our works are sinful and our sacrifices have no value for him, what then is left to us? Our Lord answers, "Offer to God thanksgiving. Pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." This is what God wants. If you want help and deliverance from God, then stop trying to pay him for it. And instead, come and take what he offers you. Be thankful for what he has already given you. Call upon him in every need, and he will rescue you. He will deliver you, and then you will glorify him for what he's already done. This is the only way to be ready for his judgment. This is the only way to prepare your way, to call upon him and to receive his help and salvation. For our God is a gracious God who desires to show all compassion. Because his coming always means judgment, he announces his coming beforehand so that we might prepare to receive him. John the Baptist went preaching and teaching, preparing the way for Jesus. He was sent out in the spirit and power of Elijah the prophet to turn the people back to the Lord their God by repentance and the forgiveness of sins. This was the purpose and power of his preaching and baptism, to prepare a people for the coming of the Lord so that when he judges them, they might be found righteous in his sight, true saints, fit for his kingdom. Our psalm this evening might well have been preached by John, for it speaks of that very time when God would come to visit his people, to gather them together and to judge the world. Just like John did, our psalm joins both comings of Jesus into one. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God will shine forth. Our God shall come and shall not be silent. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous all about him. Christ our Lord came preaching. And when he had finished preaching to Israel, he sent his disciples to preach to the entire world, so that the voice of our Lord would reach to all men everywhere. This preaching has a purpose, so that on the last day when Christ comes to judge the world, he can gather all his saints to himself. This is his cry, which he cries out to the earth and to the heavens. And these whom he gathers, they are saints. They are holy, because they have made a covenant with God by sacrifice. Out of the mass of the world, they heard his preaching. They repented of their sins, and they were covered with his blood. The sacrifice of this covenant which they have made with him is not the sacrifice that we give to God, but that God has made for us in his Son, Jesus Christ. The judgment of our God will indeed come. John declared it. Jesus described it in detail. The Old Testament, such as our psalm, often describes the two comings of Jesus as one coming. There's good reason for this. Though we cannot see Jesus with our eyes, he, God's promised Christ, rules and reigns over this earth, even in the midst of his enemies, as we heard in Psalm 110, verse 2. Right now, his call is going out throughout the earth to prepare for his judgment. For to this day, our Lord is with us, sending out messengers. For the day is soon upon us, when he will appear visibly again, and every eye will see him. Therefore, do not be foolish like the wicked who think that God is not real just because he does not immediately strike them dead for their evil. Instead, heed his cry. Confess your sins unto him. That is what it means to pay him your vows, to come back to him who has made a promise to you that if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Therefore, call upon him in the day of trouble, and he will deliver you. Indeed, Christ Jesus is here, in our midst already, our Savior and our Redeemer. He has already answered your cry. He has shown to you his salvation. He has given you his own righteousness by his death upon the cross. Glorify him for his mercy, for the life and salvation which he has given to you by his blood. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing hymn number 500.
Thank you.
Let my prayers be set forth before thee as incense.
We sing the Magnificat.
My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for He hath proved my heart, a lost state of His dead weeping, for He
with the early anticipation of our redemption. Grant that we who now joyfully receive thine only begotten Son as our Redeemer may also behold him without fear when he cometh as our Judge, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy on
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, from whom all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works do proceed, give unto thy servants that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey thy commandments, and also that by thee we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may pass our time in rest and quietness, through the merits of Jesus Christ our Savior, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all.
Amen.